Hi, this is Iris Jackson, and this is Miracles Happen. Dreams do come true. Are you ready for a miracle? I have one here for you today. The living, breathing, walking, shining miracle himself, Eric Berglund.
Oh, listen to you.
Thank you. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you. We're all miracles. We're all shining, and it's a wonderful world.
Oh, it is. And Eric, you are one of those that remind us all to shine. You are a visionary, a world-class musician and composer, a singer, a recording artist, a healer, a seminar leader, and you're so, the thing I love about you is that you absolutely walk your talk and you absolutely apply everything you learn, and you have made your life paradise. And that is what I want for people. That's what I want for everybody on earth. And
me too. You know, I have the most wonderful an artist from Romania that is living in Spain. In Romania they take all my workshops, and they're all recorded, so they're on DVD, and it goes through the Romanian world. So he had seen, even though he hadn't met me, he had seen all these DVDs, and then he came and painted this beautiful painting of me, and came miles and miles out of his way to present it to me. So I have this beautiful painting in my office. I have me playing the harp and the galaxies all around me. And at first I look at this painting and I think, this is just outrageous. But then I look at it and I think, this is absolutely wonderful. It's my higher self. And then when I look at that, I think, may everyone see themselves in such beauty as I get to see right in front of me. Because, you know, life is like the water. We have waves, you know, and sometimes, you know, sometimes we're even under the water, and then sometimes we're on top of it riding a wave in joy. Life has all these ups and downs, but how wonderful to always remember who we really are.
Yes, and to remember that we created this and we can change it if it's not something that makes our hearts sing.
Yeah, that's for sure.
We can change it, and I always have people on that that I want to learn from, that I want to serve with, and that I want to learn from, and that inspire and uplift me. And I wanted to tell you that, especially with you, I write down a whole bunch of things and start using them that you give. And
I'm so grateful because, you know, all the, you know, the the information that I share, it's like we all are. We're all in this together. And because I've sort of made this my life work, I have the luxury maybe to spend more time than some other people get to do searching and finding the best things. And then I just, whatever I learn, I just want to share it immediately. And then it's just, it comes through my lens. But I've learned things from other places, and even when we just get it in meditation, well, it's out there in the universe for all of us to receive. So nothing really belongs to anyone. And I am so grateful, you know, like you say, that you share it, and then I go places, and sometimes I have people come to workshops. It can be Australia, New Zealand, anywhere, and people will come up, and they've never even met me, but they learned things from someone else. They went to a workshop, they applied it, and then they shared it with them, and they've been applying it, and then I finally got to meet them.
Isn't that great?
Yeah. Oh, I'm really thrilled when I hear that, because things, you know, they just go on and on and on. A lot of what I learned and share is from what I learned from a teacher that I had called Hilda Charlton way back in New York, and I'm so grateful to get to keep sharing what she shared. And of course, she learned from her teachers, and I used to also give voice lessons for many years, and I used to feel that when a person stood right by the piano, that there was like a wave of energy, and as soon as they stood in that, right where they stood, they walked right into that wave of energy, and then no matter where they were, whatever there was all the energy for singing. And no matter what their voice, if they couldn't carry a tune, anything, or they were a great opera star at the Met, they would be better. They were walking into this energy of singing that came through all my teachers, their teachers behind them, all the way on. And of course, we have that with everything. We have these lineages of energies and waves of who we've been in past lives, who we are now. We draw on many things that we're not aware of.
Yes, and the thing you mentioned before is as soon as you learn something, you want to share it. I think that I have been blessed with the greatest, most profound teachers on the planet.
You're in the same mode. You get to do, just do what I do, don't you?
Yes.
Hear from everyone and apply it and share it again, and it's marvelous.
Yes, and also, Eric, I've had the greatest teachers on the planet, and they have been honored by my presence and given me their teachings. I mean, it's just been laid before me, and I believe that's because everything that I've ever been given, I've multiplied a million times. You know, it's like I want everybody to have this. And so I want to encourage everyone to do that, because there are so many people that are, they are light workers, and yet they feel like they're the only one, so they don't say anything to anyone around them.
Yeah.
Have you met a lot of people like that?
You know, when you travel around, what I hear them probably the most from people is that people feel isolated. You know, they're so grateful, you know, when I come, and then they get to meet other people and share in community, and well, that's part of the energy where we're going. You know, we're in this great time of transformation where everything is changing, and we hear all about 2012, and one of the prophecies is, you know, that we're all going to be connected again, and this whole separation that's so deep, and the main thing that needs to be healed in the whole human condition is this feeling of separation, separation from God, the light, however we want to call it, and to have that healed again. And one wonderful way to kind of shift this is to, in meditations and on the inner planes, connect with your soul family. See, we each have a soul family, beings that we've shared lifetime after lifetime with. Sometimes we connect with people, and they're people who we've known before, but we have people on the other planes that aren't in this life, but they were in other lives. And when this group comes together, it brings out the best in all of us. And somehow the worst in us just kind of diminishes without doing anything else. And so to contemplate, to know of it, first of all with awareness, and then in a quiet time, just sitting out in nature, when you meditate, just say, I open to my soul family, where we meet on the inner planes in the dream world. And just by reflecting on the inner, as we know, everything on the inner becomes reflected on the outer. Everything we see on the outer screen of our life is only reflection of what's inside us. So by connecting with our soul family in the inner, then we draw them to us on the outer. And so we'll have new friends, new people, even when we thought we had wonderful people, but we'll draw even more wonderful people that are right with our visions. Because while each one of us has dreams and each one of us is here to create miracles, none of us do it alone. We all do it connected with each other. I mean, we're talking today. This is one of your dreams, and it was my dream too to share, but we're doing it together. And
yeah.
And so all dreams, all visions come with other people. And by doing a little bit on the inner, connecting with your soul family, then you can more quickly draw in the people in the outer that will help you manifest your dream.
Woohoo! Did everyone write that down? I want you to remember this one. I want you to use this one. Eric, you just give so many things that are so moving and uplifting. I just really want to acknowledge you for that. It's so important.
Yeah. I've gotten to share a lot with a wonderful friend, teacher of mine, called Jasmine, who is famous in the world for living on light. She doesn't have to eat food. And we've given presentations all over the world. And, oh gosh, what was I going to say about her? I was going to say something about her that was so wonderful. What would you say before this?
Well, we're talking about connecting with your soul family, and then I was talking about be sure and remember this one and write it down and use it, and that you just always give such pearls and, you know what?
Yeah, I lost the thread. Oh,
okay, well, it doesn't, it'll come to you. Jasmine, I've had her both on my radio and television shows, and she's so wonderful. She is truly, she has the same quality you do, Eric, is of being a shining sun.
Yeah, she sure is. Well, maybe we're just to have her name in here. There was something with what we were saying that is something that I've learned and done with her that I was going to share that went through, but anyway, she is just, yeah, she's wonderful, and we're all here to share, and we can really bring out the best in each other by connecting with each other. And we have new parts of us that we didn't even know were there.
Yes,
just like a place, you know, go to a certain place, and,
yes.
And a place will draw things out. Of course, there's astrology to that, you know, there's...
Yes.
Astrolocality, you know, a certain place will draw, can bring out negativity. Another place will draw out your, you know, romance. Another place will draw out your wisdom and so on. And so, like, places bring things out. Well, people bring things out in within each other, too. And so it's really wonderful to connect on the inner first, because that helps it, and then on the outer, the people that bring out the best in you. And they say that when you learn new things, if you go back to the old way, the same old people, the same whatever, you can lose things faster than ever. But if you surround yourself with people that uplift you, then the world is yours.
Well, you know, you just touched on Jasmine not needing food, and there, we're talking about disconnecting from the matrix. I mean, she has disconnected from the matrix, you know, and the matrix would tell you you have to eat, and you know, she received so much just attack from the press. And I was thinking, I've been thinking a lot about the matrix and what it is, and it seems like there is this force field to keep everything as it has been with these false beliefs.
Yeah.
And that is a false belief that people have to eat.
It sure is. Right. I didn't eat yesterday. It's so great. I don't do it all the time. Like Jazz does. The most I did was 12 or so days. It was wonderful then, but... I still enjoy it, but I sure love not eating too, and it's just wonderful, just to have water, and it cleanses the body out. It brings the best in you, and then of course you don't even need it at all, which is so true. But the matrix, you talk about that, and that's our subject for the day, and it's just something that's so thrilling to me. I imagine many people have seen the film The Matrix.
You
saw it, right? It's really made a huge impact on people, and it's an allegory for what's real. At the end, for those of you, whenever I share this with people, I find that about half the people have seen it and are just totally into it, and about half the people have never seen it or heard it or don't know anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's probably worth just sharing the main things from The Matrix, and that is that it takes place in the future, and the computers have taken over the world. You see, in this life, we're being forced to be with machines. Like it or not, like when you fly now, you used to have people, now you are forced to work with a machine to get your ticket, you're forced to talk to a computer on the phone instead of with a person. The world is forcing us to be with computers, to be with machines. And in this future that they have, is that the machines have completely taken over. They become so perfect, and people are useless because they have the human error. And so, but they still need the life force that comes from the humans. So they put them all in one place, and and they have them all hooked up with big things connecting all these different points on their bodies where they take their life force. And then what they've done is they've just put a thing in their minds so that they're living in like a computer world where
a virtual reality.
And that's all they see. And of course now we're hearing with all the latest physics is exactly that's what we're in. We're just a biological hologram. and what we think and feel is real, but everything else is just, it's not real. It's like this old movie from Showboat that I love from the 30s, and they show these old miners that have never seen a movie, and they see their first silent film, and they have the villain tying the heroine to the tracks, and a train is coming, and she's going, save me, and he's going, yeah, you know, like they did in the old films, and the prospectors see this, and they go, oh, and they take their guns out, and they shoot the screen. Right through the screen, and the movie keeps playing. It keeps playing and playing and playing, and that's what our life here is. It's just a movie that's being played by causes that have been set up a long time ago, or even some things recently, and so we can't change what's out there by going to the screen, the movie. We have to go inside, like the guys, these prospectors, they had to maybe bash up the projector or go back to Hollywood, get the actors, get a new script, and do that. But we can make new scripts in our mind, and that's what getting off the Matrix is about. There's another marvelous film called Back to the Matrix, before we leave that. The end of the film, Keanu Reeves, who's the hero, turns to light. He gets blinded. He can't even see, but through the light, he sees everything. I was in Europe once where they had a machine made by Patrick Flanagan where you can hear through it, and it is the weirdest thing. You put this on, you can put it and attach it anywhere in your body, and you hear there. We're so used to hearing with our ears, but you can hear through your knees. You can hear anywhere. Same thing with eyes. It's all an illusion. And so everything ultimately is light. And I hear a couple more things on the Matrix. There's a wonderful Walt Disney film that kind of shows it. You see this artist painting Mickey Mouse.
Uh-huh.
And then Mickey Mouse has a paintbrush in his hand. And he waves at the artist. You see the artist, you like how they combine animation and live action. And he waves at the artist, and the artist waves back at him. And Mickey Mouse takes the paintbrush, and he paints Minnie Mouse and Donald Duck. And the camera zooms in. We don't see the artist anymore, and all we see is the Walt Disney world. We're living in a Walt Disney world. Who created us? Where is that artist? And another film that is just fabulous, and we just watched it again here at our house, it's called The 13th Floor. Have you ever seen that?
Yeah, but not for quite a while.
That is really, really interesting. What happened in that is this fellow creates a virtual world of Los Angeles in the 30s, and he straps up, he goes back in, and then he discovers that it's totally real. Now, I just read in Science, we have a thing right now where you can strap to a machine right now, and you can feel, if you're a man, what it's like to be in a female body, or if you're female, what it's like to be in a male body.
That would be real useful for a lot of people.
I think so, but that's not science fiction. That exists right now. And But science fiction is stretching the mind. It's just kind of one level where one direction we could go. And so he went back in time, and they discovered things that happened back in the 30s affected what was happening now. And then what happened was people in the future stepped in this one. He found out this whole reality, and it was just layers and layers and layers. So the Matrix is this artificial thing that we are kept in that holds this holographic, biological energy field that we're in that's not real. And it's making us forget who we really are.
Well, you know, I was talking about this with my son, and he said, you know, it's important that we not think of it as something that's being done to us, but something we have openly, maybe unconsciously, though, agreed to co-create. And
one of the most powerful affirmations in the whole universe is, I am responsible. And when you say, I am responsible, it immediately takes you out of being a victim. And that, of course, is the worst thing we can do, is think, oh, I can't do this because I'm too old, too young, too this, too that, I'm a victim, you know. Change that. So that's true. But there were periods of time where things happened. Because this goes way, 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 way back in time. Because we have the DNA, and now, and they say we have the junk DNA. But God, our designers, wouldn't make junk. It's not junk. In fact, some of the latest physicists are now saying that it's not junk, it's actually extraterrestrial. But we were at one point manipulated as a race, where we were put down to be in this form, and souls were actually trapped, and they were put into these things, like you could think of it as like as a computer. And here was a soul that was free, could go in and out of anything, and they were trapped to go right in, and push, it was snapped, and then they were caught in it, and they couldn't get out. So we're like in these machines that we can't get out of. Interesting. And there's a lot of information on this now. It's very interesting how information that was suppressed for so long is now able to come out. And there's certain points on the body. I feel there are 44 points. And these points connect us to the matrix. And so, of course, it's programmed in with our belief systems, our environment, our heredity, and other people's thoughts on us. It goes on and on, all the things that we know of that we work on. But there are these various points. And they're similar to points when we work and we heal etherically, like... some things we can see. You know, you're just on the body, there's a bone is broken, you can take an x-ray and, it needs to be shifted this way and you do this and that. But some things are etheric and you don't see them, but they're still there. For example, many years I used to release implants. There used to be Atlantean implants and things from Orion and all of that, and they would be totally affecting people. Like, people would say, oh, I just feel this thing in the back of my head all the time, and my headache hurts because of it. And you release this. First of all, you do the normal things for a headache, and they don't work. And you go and do this, and then, wow, people are totally free. So they're like etheric. This is probably a little easier way to understand it. It's like, say, the Spanish Inquisition, and people were tortured.
I'm sorry, I didn't understand that.
That's why I'm going to say it better.
Oh, well, like, you just cut out a little bit.
What?
You just cut out a little bit. I didn't get everything that you said. I'm not asking you to explain what you said. I just missed it completely.
Missed it completely. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, I'll just kind of go on where I was. Then, like in the Spanish Inquisition, people were tortured, and then they come back in another life, but they might still have those pains that were done when they were tortured in this past life. But we also have torturing even from other planes of existence. Anyway, those things are etheric. They're not in the physical body now, but they're still affecting. And so the same way, like all these points, this being connected with the matrix is ancient. It goes way, 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 way back, but it's constantly reinforced. And anyway, we can now remove all these points. And when the points are removed, it's just phenomenal. You feel like, I thought at first, when you remove the points, you would just feel like light, because ultimately that's where we're going. This dimension that's behind where we are now is a realm of light. And the 2012 scenario and a lot of the prophecies say, many of the indigenous prophecies say that we're going to turn back to light. And matter won't be as intense or have as strong a hold as it does right now. So we're going back to light. But in this going back to light, it's easy. I thought you'd just feel light, but what happened for me and for many of the people that we did this with is that they feel more solid, which is really interesting. You feel more grounded, and where things that used to, like something's negative, and you can even feel it before you even come into it. You can just I can feel this, and it would go right inside you, and then after it went inside, then you do energy work, and then you could remove it, but it would go in there. Well, once you've done this, it doesn't come in there anymore, and you're just solid. It's like that phrase in the Bible where you're in the world but not of it.
Yeah.
So you can walk through all this negativity. You can see it. You can even kind of feel it, but you feel it at the edge of your aura. It doesn't go inside you. It's the only way that I can say it for me, and again, many other people have felt the same thing. So you become more solid, and then you can walk through everything by having these points freed, because every point was from ancient times was put in there, like right in the center of the head, right over the heart, in the eyes, in the ears, in the nose. We have all these points that were set in for us to be programmed, and they're just there, like big bands, and then everything that the genetics and the environment and things that have served to put us there, they just reinforce it. But at some point, it's great to have them released.
So do you do that with people individually as well as in your workshops?
I can, but, it takes so long. There are 44 points, and it can take 15 or 20 minutes to do a point. And so it's quite... I've done it. Actually, the first time I did it for one person, it was just... it's awful. I don't like doing it. It's just really hard. It's much easier to do it with a group because you can build up a group energy. There are certain energies that are coming on the earth right now that are easier to do as a group. There's a... you have this whole group thing. Well, it's the same phenomenon we talked about at the beginning. When you're connected, like with your soul family and people that have like minds, there's like an energy that's created, and you all work. And when you have that energy, and then you combine together, you can do things as a group that you couldn't do alone. So at first, when I tried doing it alone, I actually did it, but it was very difficult. It took a big toll out of me. But as a group, then I could do it, and then it really worked, and everyone felt it. But now there's also like a synergy. Whenever you have something that's new on the earth, it takes more energy to do it. And then when more and more people are doing it, it creates like a band of energy. And then for every new person that does it, it's easier to do. So already now it is easier to do, and it is easier for me to do it for one person now. But it's very, very time consuming because of so many points, but it can be done.
Well, I sort of want to talk about the matrix a little bit more,
sure.
Eric. For me, I have noticed with dealing with governmental agencies, dealing with the IRS, dealing with banks, dealing with Social Security for my mother and all of her interactions with the government and things have been... They have become so complicated, so complex, so dehumanizing, so distracting, so convoluted that it feels like it just takes your energy, and it's almost, it seems like it's a deliberate trying to make people crazy.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
Well, and it just takes so much of creative energy. Like, one of the things I've been saying that I want is for the IRS to be disbanded,
mm-hmm.
and for let them get green jobs, and for there just to be a tax when you buy something, and so that the people that are buying things pay the tax, people that aren't buying things don't pay any tax.
And let the tax go to something that's worthwhile instead of to big corporations.
And to wars. Also...
Have you read that there are a million people have died in Iraq now? A million.
I am so sorry to hear that. And I...
it was the biggest... suppressed news item of the year.
Oh my God. Well, I think that
a country, we attacked a country that did nothing to us, and we went and killed a million people.
Aren't we the big fucking savior?
We were responsible, you know, we talk about responsibility, our country.
Well, that's another thing, you know, I went to a meeting at my senator's office, and I said, I refuse to pay for any more wars, and nobody can make me. And we ought to be able to, when we are paying taxes, not keep any records, not have to prove anything later, just the taxes taken out when we buy something, and we get to vote on where it goes. I want my money to go with uplifting, healing, exalting, educating, helping people, nurture people. I want to nurture life.
Yeah.
And
I feel that most people want that as well.
I do too.
And it's just a small minority that
that want to support war.
Yeah.
Well, then they ought to be able to write that on their tax form. I want to pay for all the wars. You know, let them.
We designate like one little area for war, like the smoking rooms in the airports.
You know, the best book about that, and I wish it would be a movie, is One by Richard Bach.
Mm.
Do you remember that book?
I haven't read that one.
Oh, it's so wonderful, and he suggests a thing where instead of wars, that there's actually simulations of teams from every country that that simulate wars.
Yeah,
but nobody gets hurt.
Yeah, but you know, there's this whole thing too. The thing is, if it's in the consciousness, then eventually it outplays, and so somewhere things have to shift. You know, like because all the big wars are only a multiplication of the little wars, and as long as you have the little things inside, eventually it'll just come out and be big again. So somewhere the condition, everything that is looking. I just watched the film Taken last night. Have you seen Taken?
Yes.
Yeah, and you know the villain is so awful, and it one and then and right after you see him do this whole murder, and then you hear this little girl's voice, and she says, "Oh, people do bad things because they're afraid, and when they're afraid, they just do to everyone else what they're afraid other people might do to them, so that it won't get done to them first." And so the thing to heal everything is to go inside that fear that's deep inside, that somebody else can hurt you, so you have to hurt someone else. And that's what needs to be healed. It's the big thing inside. Because otherwise, you know, you have these simulation things. Like, what do you think happens if everyone is watching video games killing everybody, then they're numb to killing people. They did a study where people were in a room and they could see someone else through the screen, and then they were told to torture them. And they did, even when the people on the other side said, please don't. So they discovered that anybody off the street can just be taught in and think nothing of torturing someone else.
Yeah. Well, you know, what concerns me is that, you know, lots and lots of movies anchor pleasure, sexuality, and violence together.
Yeah.
Have you noticed that?
Yeah.
And that's very,
I usually avoid most of them. I try to find what's uplifting, you know, so I can see. But even in the uplifting things, I'm aware of this.
Yeah, and there's previews a lot of times.
Right.
I tell you, if I see three previews in a row like that, I usually walk out before the movie starts because I figure maybe that's not one for me. But I'm just saying that I feel like the movies and things are to herd people in a certain way.
Yeah. We're being manipulated through the mass media for sure. The commercials, you know, we usually think that, why are they spending billions of dollars for 1 minute? And you think that 1 minute is not powerful and effective? There's a lot of stuff going on subliminally and everything behind it. And all these images were, you know, there's definite manipulation. So that's why it's wonderful to do in our own manipulation, only with a different spin on the word, so it's uplifting. But the world itself, how can I say? Well, the Kabbalah talks about everything being chaos in this world, and the essence of everything is light that's behind it. But on this, when the light goes through the veil to where we are, it's chaos. So if you leave anything alone, it'll go to chaos. If you leave a room alone, it'll collect dust. If you leave a city alone, you know, jungle will grow over it. Everything is like that. So you have to consciously, anything that is worthwhile, you have to continually energize and build up. And the biggest thing is not our house or what's out there, it's our minds. And so with our minds, it's like a garden. And if we leave our mind alone, we just sit there, it'll grow weeds. But if we constantly do affirmations, do mudras, play the right music, do all the meditate, all the wonderful things we know, well, then that's growing flowers. And so we always have to be working on consciousness.
Well, but now,
more in this day than any other day, with all the more negative stuff that's out there.
Well, okay, you said the most powerful mantra in the world is "I am responsible."
I said it's one of them.
Oh, okay.
Because there are a couple others that are right up there with it.
What are the other ones? We better write them down.
Okay, well, "I am responsible" is really great, and you can't say that enough. And even when you know it, you still have to go back, because it's so easy to go into the trap, you know. Ah, everything's perfect except for, you know, this or that. Okay, I like myself.
I like myself.
I really like myself. Because you see, other people can only like you as much as you like yourself. And you can only like other people as much as you like yourself. So if you don't like yourself, then no one else can. So it's real important to, and so if you really like yourself, then you have all everything liking everyone, and it builds this wonderful thing up. And it's really different. We've kind of, again, the negative programming that we've had is that, like you say, we're used to hearing, like, someone's really full of themselves. Well, that's, if someone is really full of themselves, because they don't like themselves.
They're so trying to be something they aren't.
Yeah, so then they try to be something they aren't, because they don't like who they really are. But if you really like who you are, so, you know, it's such an easy thing. I mean, we've heard this in self-help books and psychology and everything. I mean, everyone knows it's good to help self-esteem, and, you know, it's just a given. Okay, I know that. You know, you just want to say that, and they say, oh, look in the mirror and say, I like myself. Okay, I know that, but I've done it once. But it's...
just do it.
Yeah, but it's more important than we realize.
Uh-huh.
You know, if you truly liked yourself, then other people would really, you would transform everything. And if everyone liked themselves, then people wouldn't do the things that are being done.
Well, you know, there's also being alive enough that you know what feels good and what doesn't feel good.
Right. And if you like yourself, you won't do things that are not good for you. If you like yourself, you aren't going to, you know, do all the things that we do, all the addictions that we have, you know, whether it's to being busy or to drugs or sex or money or... But just being busy all the time, that's addiction. Instead of just being, and just allowing the God inside us, the light that we are, and the beauty that we are, just in the moment, being just so grateful for it. where I'm doing this interview right now, I'm sitting at my desk, but I'm looking out the window, and the sun is shining right on my face. And I can see the sun shining on the snow and the angel statues that I have outside. It is just so beautiful. This moment right now, I'm in bliss just sitting here while we're having this interview. We're having the interview, but I am just so happy being.
Yes, I know what you mean. I do.
Yeah.
And I just want to encourage people to tune into that frequency. You know, people are getting, I feel like the matrix is dissolving and that people are waking up. And I was at Safeway last night, and the checker said to me, "Well, I'm going to go home at midnight." And she said, "You know, I've been thinking getting paid is not what it is. She said, "I'm sorry that I've been such a hard worker. I'm sorry that I was raised to be such a hard worker."
Yeah.
"And always be doing something every minute."
Yeah.
And I felt like she was really saying we don't have to struggle, and she's just beginning to realize it. And this isn't someone that's done a bunch of conscious work on herself, Eric.
Yeah, but you see, everything's in the air right now. So everything needs to be healed in the air, but all the tools, everything to be done. You know, with being released from the matrix, I had some people, I haven't done this in the States, I've only done this in Europe. And there, one lady who came to it, a beautiful light being, came up to me and said, "You know what, I've come to your workshop, but I feel that I already am free from the matrix." And so I went inside and looked and said, that's for sure, you're sure free. And it was just wonderful, and she was just there to help release everybody else. And what's nice is to have a method that'll work with everybody, no matter what. But there are many ways. There are many ways that we can release. And of course, the first thing is awareness. And so, if you're aware that you know you're caught in something, well, then you can begin to. How can you get off of something unless get out of something unless you're aware you're in something? So awareness is great, and that's certainly coming out now big time. I wanted to share. Obviously, I can't. There's no time to give all the steps to kind of get off this. I'm giving a. To really do this 100%, that takes a long time. I'm doing a whole week where we can in France, in the Pyrenees Mountains. If anyone would like to come and do this, we're going to get out of the matrix, and some beautiful people are coming from all over the world to do this. Because when I've given this as workshops before, we couldn't do all the points because there's so many. We did some. So some people have already released a number of points, are coming to have every point released. But what I would like to share is just a beginning that for the people on the radio to begin to work with.
And, okay.
And that is the first thing to do to release a point is you have to release. Part of the energy of the earth right now is releasing and letting go. You know, we have the tsunamis that have happened, and they're going to be, we have fires, where people have to give up. There's right now on the earth, it's the time to let go. And if we're holding on to anything, if we're holding on and we don't let go ourselves, then the universe will make us let go in something as dramatic as a tsunami or a fire or some other form, war, if you wind up there. And there'll be more of this on the earth. But the more that we can do on our own ahead of time, if we let go ahead of time, then when everyone else is having to let go, we won't have to because we've already done it. So the first step in releasing each point is connecting with this letting go energy. And this energy of letting go comes from Sirius. It's the star system Sirius that is touching the earth more and more. And every day that the passes, we're coming closer and closer to having that energy more and more powerful and active on the earth. But if you just tune into Sirius and you think of the color blue, and then what you do is you see a triangle on your head, a point at the third eye, point right above the right eye, and point right above the left eye. You see this blue triangle, energy of Sirius, and you just feel that you're letting go. Now, you can do this with anything, but you can think of whatever point you want to let go. Let's say the point of the heart, so that the heart doesn't lie. And you can really rely on your heart. So you see this blue triangle in your forehead. You see it blue. You call it the energy of Sirius to help you let go. Then you do a mudra, because mudras are forms that you can use with your hands that is just like pressing a code on a computer that moves certain energies in the body. So you take your hands, like their hands are folded, and then you take the index fingers and you stick them straight up so that the pads of each index finger touches each other. And then the thumbs are crossed on top. This is the mudra for letting go. So you have that mudra, blue triangle, and color blue, and you see this triangle on your forehead, and let go. Then you can just think of a point. So right now, for people that are listening, you could just think of this point of in your heart. And you could just now just ask the energies of Sirius to completely let go anything that stands in the way of your heart. And that's just the first step. There are more steps to be real complete with.
When you're making this mudra with your hands, you have your thumbs crossed.
Mm-hmm.
And then do you have your other fingers folded and your knuckles touching?
Yeah. It's just like if you take your hands and you just, you know, fold them together so that they're completely folded, fingers crisscrossed all over each other. You just take your hands and fold them. Yeah. And then if you just stick your index fingers up, everything else is in its right place.
So your fingers are entwined.
Yeah.
Like, this is like the church and the steeple.
This is like the church and the steeple.
Remember that?
See all the people. Except you aren't having your fingers like where they'd be inside. They're on the house side.
Yeah. Well, you know, I thought of, like, if people need to let go of things specifically, would you, for instance, I need to let go of my house that I've lived in for 20 years.
This will help.
Yeah.
When you're meditating on letting go, use this mudra because it helps you let go.
Well, I thought maybe what I should do is, Eric, and it's not an easy thing to let go. It's as beautiful as your house. And it's saturated with ascension energy, and it's people just say it's a sanctuary, and it just feels like being saturated with divine love to walk in. And
You can get a new one.
What
would be beautiful as a manifester? We only need things when we need them. So
in
a parking place, you don't need it 2 minutes before, you don't need it 2 minutes afterwards. So you can drive right into Angels, get me the place, and right as you walk up, a car moves out and you go in. Same thing with a house. You know?
Well, so the question I'm asking is, should I see the house in the blue triangle?
Yeah, you could. You could.
Yeah. Okay.
But what you're trying, but I haven't you already let go? I mean, are you still holding on?
Well, I just,
you want to sell it.
Want to sell it, and it seemed to have taken a long time, and I want it to happen now. You know, I really want to move to Mount Shasta, and I want it to happen now, so.
Okay, we'll do this. You can do this the same exercise, because you can use this with everything, with healing. So you just let go. Do the triangle and see the house in it and everything about it, all attachments, anything that you're connected with, that subconscious or whatever, memories, and just put that in front of the blue triangle. So you look from the center of your head. There's a point in the center of the head between the pineal and the pituitary gland, and that's the magic point in the side of the head. You look through that, through this triangle, and then you see the house, and you see it being letting go, and then you can even see, this is another thing. This is in, manifestation principles. You can then, then see light burning all around it so that anything that you're connected with this house, like it's like a sunlight going through fog. So right now, you're stuck in it, so it's like a fog, a dense thing all around it. And you see the light just going through everything. So, again, people in the audience, you can think of something for yourself that you want to let go of, and you can do this at the same time. And just see whatever it is that you feel you're holding on to, just see this light just burning through it all around. You have your hands in this position, you have this blue triangle in the center of the head looking through it, and you're burning everything around it, burning away, burning away, burning away. Okay, now then, for what you would like, Iris, is to now put in what you do want. And that is, that you want to sell it, right?
Yes.
And that's the big thing. You already can get a house in Chester, but you have to sell this in order to move. Okay, so now you see it being sold.
Well, I guess...
So you really need to do that. I mean, yeah. See the person, like you meeting the person and signing the contract.
Oh, yes.
So now you've cleared it out. See the person, they've looked at the house, and you see them sitting there and the realtor, and see them just signing the line that they bought the house. Just see them signing it, and see both of you shaking hands, smiling. They're so happy to get the perfect house for them, and you're so happy that you can move on and do what's more right for you in this time. And then, okay, now here's the big thing. After you've done this, okay, so you still are looking at it right through this triangle. You're still looking through it, but meantime it's all clear now, and you see it very, very bright, and now flood it with more colors, so it's real rich. You see it almost like a hologram, 3D, and see it brighter and brighter. You see it just absolutely beautiful, 100%, and maybe you can imagine it almost as if it's like a little, you know those balls that you turn upside down and the snowflakes come? See it like one of those, like it's a crystal ball, and it's right inside there, and it's bright and vivid, three-dimensional, and now all around that ball you see all kinds of angels and masters, and they're all pouring their light rays from their hands right into what you want to have happen, with them signing the thing, and that it's totally sold, okay? So it's not even just seeing it, but you have all these extra energy, all the angels, all the masters, beings of light, all around there, pouring the light, and all that light is going right into this. And like it's like the Matrix. You're in another Matrix. You're like that artist.
Yeah.
But you're doing it ahead of time. But you're doing it now with help. Like again, we talked about our soul family. We can't do it alone. So you can even imagine your whole soul family with you, because your soul family is in Mount Shasta, with the new place you're going to, and they're all helping you sell this new place. You sell the old place, you can be in the new.
Yeah.
So you see your soul family with you. See angels with you, masters, and you're all around there, all pouring light, and you see the person who's buying it just so happy. Okay, now the next thing to do, this is with star energy. The ancients all worked with star energy. People were burned at the stake for working with star energy. It came from Egypt and probably came from Atlantis way, way back. And it's the most... All the ancients worked with the star energies, knowing what was from the stars and bringing that, breathing it into the body, and it's coming back again. So for manifesting, the quickest, fastest way, because I've taught abundance manifesting for years, and they're all wonderful, but this is even faster. And that is now working with the star energy. So first you've already worked with Sirius, which is star, the letting go, and now you're seeing the vision. Now what you want to do is you want to solidify it. So you call on the fifth star of the Great Bear.
The fifth star of the Great Bear.
Yep. The fifth star of the Great Bear. There's seven stars in the Great Bear, and each star has a different function. And the fifth star has to do with manifesting. It has to do with truth and having things, the reality of the truth that is behind everything. And it's truth that kind of holds things. So all you have to do is just in your mind say fifth star Great Bear, and then it seals it. It's like I used to be a portrait artist this life, but it seems like lifetimes ago. And I used to live in New York City, and I do travel to Boston. I was the village artist from New York, and people come out of things like auto show, home show, and there'd be all these artists, and I was one of them. And we would do pictures in pastel or charcoal, and if you just left it alone, it would smear. So we had to take a spray and spray the whole picture, and then all the colors would solidify.
Oh, that's so great. You know,
it's the
Eric,
same thing when you manifest.
Eric, I'm sorry, we're out of time.
Oh.
I want, can you come back in a couple weeks? I'll call you when we're done, and see the soonest you can come back.
Yeah, I'm going to Brazil, maybe March. I'm off to February to Brazil.
Oh, you're such an adventurer. Well, I just thank you for being here. Tell people how they can reach you.
My website, www.ericbrazil.com. Eric Berglund.com, and Eric is E-R-I-K, and it's B-E-R-G-O-U-N-D. And if you forget, all you have to do is Google Angel Harp, and I come right up.
Angel Harp, that's you, the angel of the harps.
Yeah.
I thank you so much, and we'll do this again soon. We'll do this in March, can we? And we'll just firm that up right away, and I want to thank people for listening, and I want to encourage you to use what Eric has given today and for the blessing and upliftment of your life. And I want to say that Eric has used these things and created paradise, and so can you.
Blessings to everybody.
Thank you, Eric. God bless you, and may all your dreams come true.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep shining until then. Happy trails to you till we meet again. I love you, and this is my wish for you, that all your dreams come true and are 1,000 times more wonderful than you ever dreamed possible. Ah, men, ah, women, ah, children, and yeehaw!